Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the deep dive, and Liverpool have signed Alexis McAllister. And because Liverpool have signed Alexis McAllister, who better to bring in to talk Alexis McAllister with than Josh Williams? Alexis McAllister might have been the answer to that, but he's not available, and Josh Williams is available at the drop of a hat because he's an absolute legend, and I enjoy speaking to you. So we're going to talk about Alexis McAllister. We did a deep dive on him about 3 weeks ago where we covered quite a lot of ground, to be honest with you. That is all up-to-date information if you want to go back there and check that one out. And it was why, I think it was Liverpool need to sign Alexis McAllister. So that was obviously a few weeks ago. It was an inflammatory title, but I think one that was... well, right, to be honest with you, Josh. So if you want to know like some more information that we're not going to talk about, we're not going to talk about the same stuff as last time. We're going to talk about differences, and we're going to sort of compare him to Liverpool players later on in the show. But for now, we will do a bit of a top line sort of look at Alexis McAllister. So we're going to use FB Ref as we tend to use online, and look at his scouting reports now. Josh, for you, what are the things that sort of stand out, and what are the difficulties in trying to assess a player like a versatile player like Alexis McAllister when you do look at FB Ref?
Yeah, well, that is the word for him, mate. He's as versatile as it gets, really. He always plays in the middle of the park, as we know, never plays on the flanks, obviously, but can play as a deep lying six or as a number 10, really, and he can play as an eight, but Brighton don't usually use him in that way. Because he's played like virtually half the season as a double six with Caicedo, and a serious portion of the season as a number 10, because I think Lallana picked up a serious injury, so I think he was kind of his replacement in that role. We have numbers for him that are kind of split, I suppose, based on where he's playing.
And is this a bit like if you imagine it as a heat map and someone plays the first half of the game on the left-hand side of the pitch, left wing, and then the first half of second half of the game on the right, the heat map is kind of all in the centre because that's kind of where it is. So we're not quite seeing, are we, the true defensive numbers for him, and we're not quite seeing the true attacking numbers for him?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you play Virgil van Dijk up front for half the season and then play him as a centre-back for half the season, at the end of the season, he's probably going to average like a serious number of shots compared to the average centre-half. That is obviously the data being shaped a little bit. It can deceive you and stuff. So that's what makes McAllister really difficult to analyse. So we can compare him to centre-mids, as in like sixes and stuff, or we can compare him to tens, or we can just assess him for what he is, really, which is a bit of both and whatever Klopp needs them to be, almost.
Well, let's compare him to midfielders first then, Josh. What are the things that sort of jump out here off the page straight away?
Well, when it comes to midfielders, I think we obviously can't look past the fact that he's a keen shooter.
Yeah.
Averages about 2.5 shots per 90, which is a serious amount for a centre mid. You know, I think typically in the Premier League, we think of centre mids and we do expect goals. We think of Frank Lampard, we think of Steven Gerrard, Yaya Toure, and these kind of midfielders. Whereas in reality, most centre mids stay in the middle part, in the middle third for most of the game, and don't tend to shoot a lot. McAllister, in comparison, does shoot an awful lot. And some people would say that's a nice thing for Liverpool to add, considering we do tend to lack goals and assists from that area, don't we?
Yeah, you know, it's true. Yeah, and I think one thing to note is that when we compare him against midfielders here, it's not really very fair because he's played as an advanced midfielder for most of the season. So he is in the top 1% for midfielders. But, you know, we maybe come back and check that against the attacking midfielders later, where you get probably a better representation of where he's been playing for at least half of the season. I think you're right on the point about, you know, wanting sort of creativity and goals from midfield. People have wanted that along for a long time. Now, for me, one of the points that I sort of thought about while we had Salah and Mane and Firmino was when you're getting 70 goals a season from your front three players, it kind of doesn't matter if you're getting goals from the midfield. Now, my question for you really is, or maybe I can sort of talk about it myself, is I can't see Liverpool getting 70 goals from the three front lads at the moment. Now, maybe if you added a 4 and 5 in there, you might get close to it. But let's say Mo walks away with 30 goals. Are you getting 40 goals right now from Diaz, from Nunes, from Gakpo? Potentially. And then, but McAllister will help that figure, I think. And that's, I think, where it is. It's like, you're not going to get 70 goals from three players, but you might get 70 goals from 5 or 6.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it, again, just depends on, like, the system Klopp goes with and stuff. Like, it, obviously, the 3-2-5 that we've touched on a lot over the past few months, if you are forming that attacking bank of five, you are then expected to be delivering the goals and assists for the team. And that is obviously Salah, the 9, the left winger, and the 2 8s. And I think in that system, McAllister would probably be one of the 2 8s. And I think he's shown this season for Brighton that he does have the ability to contribute with goals and assists. I'm not sure exactly how many goals he's got.
I think he got 11 goals before, maybe with some penalties and 2 assists, I think, off the top of my head.
I've seen a few of his open play goals for Brighton, and they do tend to be those kind of, like, arriving late in the box, timing you run really well, good anticipation, and then composure to put the ball away when it comes to you. So I think...
Sorry, I just wanted to get it right. It was 10 goals and 2 assists that he's got.
Sounds. How many penalties then?
4
penalties, yeah.
Six pens.
So he's it's not actually as many
goals as people probably consider, to be fair, because six of them are penalties. But he's a great penalty taker, and he might get goals from penalties. Mo Salah missed 2 of his 4 penalties
Is that a question for you?
I would. If he's going to score 6 out of 6 and Mo's missing at 50% rate now, why not? Take the pressure off him.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, mate. I think sometimes you're inclined to just give it to the superstar, aren't you? And that's obviously Salah, but if he's not putting it away as much as the lad who's not so much in the spotlight, it's a big call for Klopp, but I think it's definitely one to make.
So let's have a look at some of the stats against the attacking wingers, attacking midfielders and wingers then, because now you can see his shots total goes down to, it's obviously the same total, but he's now top 27%, whereas he was top 1% versus the midfielders. And I think that's what we're trying to explain to you today, is that, you know, it's very difficult to actually pigeonhole McAllister into where he is in terms of the statistics. Now, the eye test is completely different. Whenever you've watched him play, or whenever I've watched him play, I've been massively impressed with how often he gets on the ball, his technical ability, his ability to turn in tight spaces, bring players in, look for those through the needle passes. And in some instances, I think he should have more assists than he's got this season. And I think that is right down to the fact that Brighton strikers aren't Mo Salah. And I think he'll get more assists for Liverpool for just being around better strikers.
Yeah, I agree. And I think if you look at, like, where his numbers show up in comparison to these attacking midfielders and wingers and stuff like that, he just looks like a really ball-dominant player who's getting on the ball a lot, lots of passes, keeping the ball in comparison to the average, like, winger and the average number 10. And I think it's interesting as well that if you look at just touches in the attacking penalty area, obviously he's not particularly inclined to get in the box and touch the ball in those areas. So for me, he's almost like that third midfielder who's like 50% an attacker, 50% a midfielder, and he's almost like he's connecting the two a little bit. And if you think of the player who's done that for Liverpool over the past few years, in Bobby Firmino,
the
connector. Liverpool obviously gonna have to cope without him moving forward. I think McAllister is a bit of a alternative take on, almost like making up what Bobby did in the aggregates in a different way. If you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting, actually. I never really thought of it from that point of view, to be honest with you. But yeah, I suppose if we're not going to get a Bobby Firmino, if maybe let's say you play Darwin Nunes, is probably the easiest example for people, then you don't have the skill set that Bobby Firmino has in your side. But McAllister can come in, get into those Bobby Firmino type positions and link the play together. Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, no, I think if you look at, as you say, Darwin Nunes, you've got to find a way to get him into the team. He cost 85 million and stuff. So a way in which you do that would be to field two number 10s behind them, which is what we're doing in this new system, both of whom ideally never lose the ball, really, and do connect the play. And McAllister, as you can see in his numbers, gets on the ball an awful lot in comparison to the typical attacking midfield kind of player. I remember reading earlier in the season from a stats bomb piece, and I think it's called, basically, the number 10 space, picture at the top of your head. Mm-hmm. I think if you're being all technical about it, I think they call it zone 14, that area of the pitch. And I think the piece I read, I remember him showing up in StatsBomb's numbers as a player who typically receives the ball in a good amount of space, despite receiving the ball in pressurised areas like that. So he's definitely, he can definitely be that connector for Liverpool.
That shows up actually when you watch him play, because obviously I mentioned a few weeks ago that I've watched a lot of Y-Scout stuff on him and his best actions and all these types of things. I mentioned at the time that I've literally seen him take every shot this season and stuff.
Yeah.
And when I watch these sort of pieces, it is the movement that I'm sort of looking at a lot of the time when I'm trying to sort of self-scout or something like that, you know what I mean? And he drifts off players so well in those areas of the pitch. Like, they're not bursting runs, they're not sort of 10, 15-yard runs. He just, there's a fella moving with him and he'll just stop.
Yeah.
And before you know it, he's in 5 yards of space and he's receiving the ball and he's moving the ball on. And it's that clever sort of movement in those sort of half spaces and 10 areas which make it so difficult for defenders to pick up. And he's got that in abundance, certainly. I just wanted to carry on with some of the stats then and just sort of show you some of his standard stats, really. And this is now versus midfielders, but I wanted to show you the attacking midfielders because I wanted to highlight what you were talking about before, is that in terms of passing and dominating the ball and moving the ball forwards and, you know, all that type of stuff, you can see it's green bar after green bar after green bar here. I mean, in terms of passes completed, it's 97%, so he's in the top 3% there, but that's even low for Liverpool. Yeah. 49 passes per game. I know Brighton dominated the ball this season. They had the third most passes in the league after Manchester City and after Liverpool. So Brighton were like 21,000 something. Liverpool were like just over 22,000, I think it was. Manchester City just over 25,000. Brighton dominated the ball, but this guy is on the ball a lot, but nowhere near as much as even Jordan Henderson has averaged this season for us, who's averaged 58 passes per game this season. And I think when you look at Jordan Henderson, I think over his entire career, might have to check this one, I think it was 68 passes per game. So even now, this is low, and I expect this to improve and get better, even though you'd look at that and go, well, how much can he really improve in terms of that? When you're playing a Liverpool side and you're playing in those advanced areas, you are going to get a lot more of the ball, I feel.
Yeah, and a lot of it depends on, again, where he's playing and his role in the team. I do think he's got like certain qualities attached to his game where he could become like a bit of a consoler for Liverpool. Not so much as like a Thiago offered it, mm-hmm. but maybe like a bit of a balance between what Genie offered and what Thiago offered as kind of like a consoling presence who doesn't necessarily dominate the ball and consequently make you a bit predictable almost because the ball's going through him every time. But whenever he does get the ball, he just keeps it. And if you think of this modern trend of like this box midfield thing, the middle of the pitch is becoming more and more congested. And as a result of that, you need players who can basically put the foot on the ball in pressurised areas, relax, close control, really technical and stuff. And that's one thing I've definitely picked up on in watching him for Brighton this season, his ability to just get the ball under control and almost manoeuvre his body and shield the ball at all times. I think Lallana said this week in an interview with Brighton that he's stronger than you'd think and stuff like that. So yeah, we're top player and really looking forward to seeing how Klopp uses him.
Just quickly then on the defensive side of things then, obviously this is now versus midfielders on your screen here and you can see it doesn't really show up very well at all, does it, Josh? Because, you know, there's one green bar there in the defensive sort of statistics versus midfielders, and that's tackles in the middle third. Tackles in the attacking third is halfway, 49%. Defensive third is 36, I'd say midfield, in the middle third of the pitch, it's top 22%. He's good at tackling dribblers, okay. But this isn't something, when we talked about a versatile player, when you compare him to midfielders, doesn't really look like he's a versatile player per se, does he?
No, but then if you and I'm guessing that you're going to do this, but if you then was to put in attacking mids and wingers on those numbers,
it should be on your screen right now. Well, to be honest with you,
they'll take a massive boost. Yeah. So it's really difficult to analyse him in the numbers because of this ever changing role that he's got at Brighton that we've seen, and even for Argentina as well, he was used in different areas all the time. So it's credit to him, but he's almost in the numbers at least a victim of his own versatility in a way.
Absolutely. And for podcast listeners, I think we should just go through some of those numbers as well, because now he's in the top 2% in dribblers tackled, he's in the top 1% in tackles in the middle third, he's in the top 17% now in the defensive third, top 9% for tackles and top 12% for tackles won. So they all take a massive jump. He's top 9% for tackles and interceptions. That brings me on to something, because when I first said, oh, this is probably the idea for the show, your first thing was, how are you going to do this, Chris? Because he's so hard to analyse. I was like, I've got that covered, Josh. That was literally when I texted him back, and, well, WhatsApp, because, you know, it's not 1999. And one of the things that I wanted to bring up from that then is we've got some statistics, not for the screens or anything like that at this point, but in 21-22, Brighton, 149 possession recoveries in his 33 Premier League games. In the 6 games prior to Potter leaving for Chelsea, he had 64 recoveries in 6 games. That's a lot, ridiculous. Yeah. 64 recoveries in 6 games, most in the league at that point. By the time the Premier League stopped for the World Cup, he'd notched up 124 recoveries in 14 games, remembering that he had 149 in 33 the previous season. And at the point of the league stopping for the World Cup, he was second only to Declan Rice in recoveries per total, which Rice was 139 and he was 124. In the 21 games post the World Cup, he won the ball 89 times in 21 games, which is a huge drop-off, a reduction of from 8.9 recoveries per game to 4.9 recoveries per game. And while McAllister's numbers went down under the Zerbi, Casado's went up, going from 5.9 pre-World Cup to 7.9 post-World Cup. This is exactly what you're saying. There's a big split in the middle. He can do the defensive side of things. He was winning the ball back, the second highest rate in the league prior to the World Cup, where he was playing as part of that too, and playing with another ball hawk, by the way, in Casado, who was averaging 5.9, and he was averaging 8.9 or something. That's 13-14 from two players in the middle of the park. Post-World Cup, the Zerbi gets him forward. It might be that Lallana injury. He might have seen something in the training. He might have known all about him from his time at Argentina's juniors and Boca Juniors and all that type of stuff where he grew up as a 10. But the stats moved completely away from that, and his attacking stats in the World Cup, I think he had the same amount of chances created as Lionel Messi. So this is how versatile a player is. He does well in both categories, and I think that's just brilliant, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he is a proper all-rounder, mate. I think if you look at him, I think it's very easy to just look at him and think to yourself, like, he looks like a luxury attacking creative player. But if you do look at the numbers in more depth, he is a real all-rounder who ticks boxes across the field, really. And those numbers that you've just mentioned there, that reminds me of why I initially started talking about him. Because around the time we had the World Cup, I've obviously got my own podcast, and we were kind of tasked with coming up with Liverpool content despite the World Cup being on, Liverpool not playing for a month. So one of the things we did was look at midfielders, and I remember specifically highlighting McAllister.
As a Fabinho replacement, maybe? Because he was playing shit at the time, wasn't he?
I wouldn't go that far, but I highlighted him as a player who... He had surprised me at the time because of his defensive numbers, because I was watching him and thinking quality player, really technical and stuff and creative and that. But he was, at the time when I looked at him, he was averaging more like tackles and interceptions per 90 than Casado, who was deemed to be the ball winner. So this is what I've tried to get across a lot this season, that he does a lot more than you'd think, McAllister.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Massive fan of him.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's have a little look at some of the statistics versus Liverpool players, midfielders. I've actually compared him, to Jordan Henderson, Harvey Elliott, Kurt Jones, Thiago Alcantara, and Ilkay Gundogan, just because. all Premier League, only domestic leagues, only the 2022-23 season, because I think that's the fairest way of doing it. In terms of start, if we rank it by start, Alexis McAllister comes out on top. If we rank it by minutes played, he comes out on top. If we rank it by 90s, he comes out on top. If you rank it by goals, he comes out on top. Now, big caveat there for if you rank it on goals minus penalty kicks, he actually is second, but he still beats out Kurt Jones, Harvey Elliott, Jordan Henderson, Thiago Alcantara, etc., etc. His expected goals is the most in the league. Now, that will be obviously inclusive of pens, which are 0.8. Is that a penalty? Expected goals?
If you round it up, yeah.
Yeah. And then non-penalty XG, though, interestingly, he still ranks out on top. Ilkay Gundogan had 6.7, McAllister 7.3. Big jump down then to 2.1, 1.4, 1.2 and 0.4 for all the Liverpool players.
So,
that's obviously they're the totals. If you do it by per 90s, which I think you should do,
yeah,
Ilkay Gundogan is second. Ilkay Gundogan is
just.
Yeah, need to zoom out one more there, don't I? Unfortunately, but Alexis McAllister is still there or thereabouts, and then it's the Liverpool players. So in terms of that, you can see, can't you, Josh, that he compares better than all the Liverpool players that we've got currently, and he's up there with probably the most talked about and right now goal scoring attacking midfielder in the Premier League.
Yeah. I think there's a fair drop there when it comes to Gundogan and McAllister, father and son. And then there's a drop there to Elliot, Jones, Henderson, and Thiago in terms of goal threat. And in terms of, I mean, I suppose that relates back to what we've just been saying about McAllister being this kind of shot monster. If you want to group him against midfielders, likes to take a shot, and as a result of his tendency to shoot, he's posting a decent expected goals from relatively close areas. Really, I mean, could be worse than that in terms of him shooting from like 30 yards and stuff like that. He's actually getting into relatively decent areas. So, yeah, he's very similar to Gundogan in many ways.
Yeah, actually, that reminds me. I did want to look at the shooting distance. You can see he's actually third on shooting distance. So Thiago averaged slightly further upfield, 24.1. Henderson 22.8, McAllister 22.5, Harvey Gundogan just 18.1, and Kurt Jones very, very highly ranked there at 17.9. And it is something that I think Klopp will want to see an improvement on in his game, because for those 2.49 shots, from every shot I've watched of him this season, he's not taking them from the best positions on the football field. He's very much taking them from the Coutinho area of the field, which I would like to see him get more into the box like an Ilkay Gundogan.
Well, again, he needs that license to do that. I think there was certain games with Wijnaldum especially where Klopp, he seemed to just basically say to Wijnaldum, go, start going. Say we need a goal late in the game, or we need a bit more attacking threat or whatever. So I think the game will dictate whether McAllister does that. I don't think he'll be consistently instructed to basically empty the midfield by getting in the box. But then again, if we're doing this 3-2-5 thing, I suppose he's got more of a license to do that anyway because of the safety net behind him. But when he does do that, when he does get in the box, he does show show to me that he's got really good anticipation and just a knack for knowing where the ball's going to drop and things like that, which I think is difficult to teach, really. I think that's either naturally in you or it's not.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that might be talking about that movement that we were talking about before and that ability. Yeah. Like, one of the things that I love about great players with great movements is that willingness to stop.
Yeah.
Because everyone's always moving. Yeah. And if you stop, the game state completely changes. Bobby Firmino was great at it. He just stopped.
Messi's a master.
Messi, just stop. Yeah. Everyone else keeps running. And then all of a sudden, you're in acres of space. And I've definitely seen that in Alexis McAllister. What I'd like you to talk about here, actually, is if we go back up to the standard stats and we look at the progressive carries, the progressive passes, and the progressive receptions. Do you want me to toggle that into Per 90?
Yeah, that'll be.
What is it you would expect to see in terms of an Alexis McAllister in this particular category?
Well, according to the eye test, I would have expected him to be a really progressive player. Like a player who, essentially not far from Thiago in the sense that whenever he's on the ball, he's moving forward. I don't think he's so much of a carrier, so I would have expected that to be fairly low. And in terms of receptions, again, it goes back to this, is he a 6, is he a 10 thing? If he's a 10, he should be receiving the ball in space a fair bit. So he should be posting a decent number of progressive receptions, but
he actually ranks 5th, I think, on here, 2.4 per game in the progressive receptions category.
Out of 6.
He's 5th out of 6, yeah. Sorry, 5th out of 6. Progressive carries-wise, he's 3rd out of 6. Progressive passes-wise, he's actually bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
which
something
is a
that
surprise.
You... Yeah, it is, but why is it a surprise?
Just because of the... I had attached to his game, personally, watching him, that he's that progressive kind of player, but he doesn't look like it. And you could put some of that down to his position, but then Curtis Jones has played really high this season, and he posts more progressive passes than him. Gundogan has played a similar role, Harvey Elliott, similar role. They're all more progressive than McAllister by the looks of it in terms of his passes, which is just something that has surprised me a bit. But
Sorry to interrupt me. Could this be to do with the team that he's playing for? Is it the way that the team's set up? Or is it just this might not be the player for progressing the ball forwards?
It could. I mean, Brighton are a really progressive team under De Zerbi. They are very forward with them. But, I mean, one thing you could put it down to is a lot of their progressive passes come from the centre-backs. Mm-hmm. And the players further forward are almost responsible for just being a little bit... You know, those bounce passes that like where you almost act like a wall and you just lay it off to the side of you. He's been really good at doing that. Maybe that stems from it. Maybe their aggressive passes are like Lewis Dunk, Adam Webster, Levi Colwill and players like that. And McAllister's just providing like... really subtle touches in congested areas. So they could be anything down to it. It'd be interesting to actually reassess that. Like 10 games into his Liverpool career and see if they've taken a real boost.
Can I book you in now?
Yeah,
we're going to sort that out then. In terms of some of the defensive actions then, because we've looked at some of the passing and all that type of stuff, I'm going to get into some of the defensive actions because I think this is quite interesting to look at as well, isn't it? So if we toggle on to the per 90 stats now, in terms of tackles per game, Kerr Jones, surprisingly maybe for some, comes out on top, 1.57. Alexis McAllister second, 1.06. In terms of dribblers challenged, he comes out second. Kurt Jones, surprisingly for some, maybe comes out on top. 2.7 for Kurt, 2.18 for McAllister. Tackle percentage, Thiago's the best. Kurt Jones is the second best. McAllister's the third best. Is it surprising to see that?
As in a good way?
Yeah, for Kurt.
Yeah. For Curtis Jones, I'm not that surprised, if I'm honest, because he hasn't played that many minutes, and the minutes he has played, he's been responsible for being like
the pressure leader.
Yeah, basically, yeah, in that system, he's been really good. But that's all. It's a shame we haven't got pressure numbers anymore, because I think Curtis Jones would be in the red, basically, as in like top on the scale and that. But in terms of McAllister, as I said, like that is kind of where they expected him to be. I didn't think he'd be any kind of luxury that you've got a carrier or anything like that. He's certainly no passenger. He puts a foot in, he's willing to do that. And he regains the ball more for you than I think many people would expect. And I think when he starts playing for Liverpool, people will be generally pleasantly surprised by that element of his game, I think, his ability to put a foot in and regain the ball for the team. And then offer so much in possession as well.
Okay. So we'll move on to a bit of a summary then, I suppose, more than anything now. Because he's played for Brighton, there's a lot of talk, obviously, you know, the fee, 35 million quid, if that's correct, is just scandalously low for a start, for a Premier League proven,
yeah,
World Cup winning superstar, quite yeah, frankly. That's half a Kepa. Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? It is an absolute buy.
I know you wouldn't want one Kepa, never mind half a Kepa, he'd be terrible in goal. But like, Sancho cost 73. Now, obviously you've got to do the business on the pitch, and that's why I'm coming on to, I suppose, is he's come from Brighton. It's a team that I think we all respect the way that they've been playing football. We all respect the way that the football club's been ran. Should it be easy for him to adapt to Liverpool?
I think this is the beauty of it, really, because I think he's done the majority of his adapting. And this comes back to the standard line that you hear all the time from Liverpool fans, and it's, why didn't we get McAllister before Brighton got him? Why didn't we get Virgil before Celtic got him? You know, why didn't we get Alisson before Roma got him? When McAllister moved to Brighton, he couldn't speak the language. He had to do a fair amount of adjusting during COVID times as well. And now he speaks the language perfectly. By all accounts, he's very good with English now. He's done all of his adapting. He's found a position. He hasn't actually found a position yet.
He's found three or four.
He's found a few, yeah. But Liverpool are now able to poach him when he's basically delivering. Brighton have now got to find the next McAllister and go through all that development again. So I think it's perfect time for him to make this step. 24 years old, I think he is. As I said, he just got to grips with the Premier League and the language and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I can't remember your initial question.
Can he adapt quickly?
Can he adapt? Yeah, he's done all of his adapting for me. And we are now poaching him, almost like Real Madrid tend to poach players and the real elite tend to poach players. They've done all of their adapting out of side, further down a few chain. And we'll have him now that he's ready to
deliver. I suppose in layman's terms, it's like when you're buying a house, isn't it? Like, you know, I'm a cheapskate, so I buy a doer-upper. You know what I mean? But like, some people with money will be just buying a house that's done and be moving in, and that's what Liverpool have done. And I haven't just compared FSG to having loads of dough there, because I think they still haven't proved it, because they've still been a cheapskate. You spend more money on transfers, FSG. Day 5 million's too cheap. You losers.
So the first meltdown of the deep dive, I think. Took about 10-15 shows.
I want to talk about his positions as well. We're going to wrap this show up now. We're going to continue the discussion over on redmenplus.com. We've got a code for you if you want to join up as a yearly club captain subscriber. The code is MAC10, that's MAC10, and we are going to give you £25 off. Make it half price, a yearly club captain subscription. So you'll get every deep dive from next season. You'll get everything that we do on Red Men TV. You'll get the Bobby Firmino documentary in full and in glorious high definition. I should have planned this before I started talking. For just £25 for you. You'll get all of next season's content as well. So yeah, please go over to Red Men Plus if you want to do that. We're going to look at where he's going to play, how he's going to play. And in a flight of fancy, we're going to start looking at Kone, and we're going to look at Khéphren Thuram as well. We're going to combine those and be like, right, how do we fit all three of them into this Liverpool side? Can we actually sign all of these players and shove them into the midfield? That's what we're going to do. We're going to get our tactics board out. It's going to be great fun. I'm going to enjoy it. You'll enjoy it. Get over to redmenplus.com. Code is MAC10. Josh, thank you so much for joining me with your expert insight as ever.
Yeah, no worries, mate.
See you real soon. Ta-ra.
Hey, our three-part documentary series, Bobby Firmino, Best in the World, is being released this June. And if you head to redmenplus.com and sign up, you're going to get early access to episode 1, exclusive access to episodes 2 and 3, and you're also going to get the full interviews with all of the contributors, including Jordan Henderson, Adam Lallana, Ian Rush, and so many more as well. Head to redmenplus.com.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.